Jean Bedini, a vaudeville star known in the trades as the Turnip Catcher for his ability to apprehend root vegetables dropped from skyscrapers with a fork clenched between his teeth, met Babe Ruth at home plate at Kinsley Park in Providence at 2:30 p.m. Bedini had canceled the opening performance of his new burlesque show, Cock-a-Doodle-Doo, to present his pal with a large floral tribute. No one could have anticipated when Bedini's troupe was booked into the Empire Theater that the Babe would be in town. An impromptu one-day engagement organized just 24 hours earlier, after he put a premature end to the World Series, leaving an unexpected hole in his schedule. There was no percentage in opening up against the Babe, and plenty of advantage to be had in appearing with him. So Bedini brought the entire cast of The Peppiest, Jazziest Show on Earth to home plate, all 60 of them, one for every home run the Babe had hit that season. There were choreens and choristers, dancing girls and jugglers, comedians, acrobatic dancers and eccentric buffoons, Harry Reeser's 10-piece orchestra, straight from the Folies Bergères in Atlantic City, as well as a radio artist and phonograph recorder. Also waiting for the Big Bam at home plate was Lou Gehrig, otherwise known as the Little Bam, as well as the promoters of the game, the first stop on a barnstorming tour their agent Christy Walsh billed as a symphony of SWAT. In their fedoras and business suits, the promoters stood out among the leggy lovelies. Judge James E. Dooley, who, having served a single year on Rhode Island's 8th District Court, earned a title for life. Tim O'Neill, the Sandlot Baseball King, and Peter Laudati, who had built Kinsley Park as a home for the current iteration of the Providence Grays. Hasty as the arrangements were, the advertisement in the Morning Journal promising that Babe Ruth, King of SWAT, and Lou Gehrig, Fencebuster, will positively appear, proved persuasive. 5,000 hilarious fans of all sexes and conditions showed up, among them 2,222 yelling, romping, tumbling kids, each of them intent upon joining the scrum at home plate. This was 2 days after Murderers Row had done in the Pittsburgh Pirates in four straight, with Ruth as chief executioner. He batted 400, drove in 7 of the Yankees' 19 runs, and hit the only 2 home runs of the series, ensuring each of his teammates a $5,709 check for 4 days' work. It was 4 days after the first talkie, the jazz singer, opened at the Warner's Theater in New York. 6 days after sculptors began chiseling George Washington's nose on Mount Rushmore. And 12 days after the big fella had made good on his New Year's pledge to Yankee owner Colonel Jacob Rupert, which had been bannered across the top of the New York Telegram, "I promise 60 homers to Jake." It was an audacious promise, considering he hadn't hit as many as 50 since 1921, one he made while living it up in Hollywood between vaudeville engagements and movie negotiations, and most notably, before coming to terms with Rupert on a 1927 contract. But the Babe made good, circling the bases on the afternoon of September 30th, doffing his cap, bowing, grinning, winking. Ruth crowed, 60. Count 'em, 60. Let's see some other son of a bitch do that. Bedini, who put an end to his vegetable-catching days after sacrificing all his front teeth to a 1-pound turnip, had a particular appreciation for the showman Ruth had become, the sheer gameness of the man. More than anyone, Bedini was in a position to grasp the difficulty of the stunt Ruth pulled off on behalf of citizens' military training camps the previous July, when Christy Walsh stationed him on a dusty Long Island airfield to try to set a world record for catching a baseball dropped from an airplane, a record Walsh invented for Ruth to break.